This is The Groove with my guest, and more of a talk show, really, Heather Gaynor, Senior Marketing Manager at Kongregate. Now, it's known to be, and I quote, it calls itself a community of creators driven to share our passion with the world. No pressure there. What about you, Heather? What are you passionate about?
I'm also passionate about gaming. I've been a gamer for a long time. A little bit less now that I have two kids. I will say they consume a lot of my time, but I'm passionate about gaming. Lately, it's been Legos. I have an almost five-year-old who's super into Legos, and it has brought me back to the world of Legos again. And I would say that's been my groove lately. I just completed the Starry Night set.
Okay.
I'm about to hang that on my wall. Looks really good. So
that's cool.
Jordan Weissman.
Yes.
You are the sales director at Smedex, and you are also, in addition to being on our talk show and being really into sales and performance marketing at Smedex, you like challenges, you like opportunities.
I do.
Yes, you do. And proof of this that you won't probably see on your LinkedIn is this wild backpacking trek you took all the way to Machu Picchu.
That's correct.
That is wild. Tell me about that.
It was an incredible experience. It was a once in a lifetime. My wife and I trained a lot, definitely not in the same shape as I was when I had the opportunity to do that. But 5 days, 26 plus miles all the way up to Machu Picchu on the Incan Trail. It was quite the experience. It changed my life.
I believe it. You have that glow. You have that glow. So I asked Heather as well, you know, into the groove. What's the groove for you? Maybe not such a trek again, but what gets you there? What is that for you?
Copious amounts of coffee. No, I'm just kidding. Coffee does it. No, truly, it's my 6-month-old son. He motivates me every day. So that's probably what gets me into the groove the most.
Okay, and the Lego scene, how's that working out for you?
We're not quite there yet, but okay. Soon enough.
Each 4+, unlike Duplos. Duplos around 2.
There you go.
There we go.
Well, you know, my passion actually, when I think about it, is some of your IP over at Kongregate. Because when I was reading about this, like, oh, wow, you know, major animation, Family Guy, love it. Futurama, American Dad. So I'm a diehard fan. You're doing marketing for these games. I mean, to borrow from other IP, that's probably a lot of responsibility, a lot of power that comes with it. A lot of power, a lot of responsibility. My spidey sense tells me. What's it like for you when you're marketing these games, thinking about the fact that you're not just going after users, but you're holding on to such valuable IP?
Yeah, it is a lot of responsibility and a lot of partnership. It's a lot of, you know, back and forth with the IP holders and making sure that our ads are in line, meeting all the guidelines. It's making sure that we're targeting the right audience, you know, really going for the people who are passionate about those shows, who are going to be interested in our games and the cross section there. But it's a really neat opportunity to get to work on those shows. And I really enjoy the humor and how we can play with that in our ads and be funny.
I'll stay with you for just a moment longer because I was reading also your background. I mean, nearly a decade at Kongregate. I mean, that is pretty amazing itself. But then before that, third grade elementary school teacher, is that correct?
Awesome.
Where does that come into all of this?
So I went to school to be an elementary school teacher, and I was for 6 years. And during my first 3 years of teaching, I was riffed and rehired every year until I finally landed my third grade position that I held for another 3 years. And then my husband, who wasn't my husband at the time, but we moved to California, and I got here, and the applications were all year-end positions once again. And I was stressed about that. And I had a friend who worked for Kongregate, was actually my husband's friend, and we were out hiking one time, and I was like kind of complaining about trying to find a teacher job. And he mentioned, he's like, you know, we have openings at Kongregate, and, you know, you've always been a gamer. Maybe you would want to try coming and doing something different. And I was like, maybe I would. And
awesome.
I did. I applied. I actually didn't get the job, but they liked me enough that they handed me off to another position. I interviewed for that, and I got on the marketing team, and I've been there since.
It's a good story.
That is a good story. That is a good call. Good call that they have you, by the way, Heather. And I have both of you here today. So actually, I wanted to try something very different. Usually I interview guests about, you know, how do they approach marketing. But I look at it this way, you know, marketing is also about relationships, having the right relationship with your ad partner, also having a good relationship and feedback with your customer, in this case, Kongregate. So it's built on good communications, built on trust. So here you are. Here he is. He's right here, right next to you. Uh-oh. Let's start off with exactly that, that trust-based discussion. He's right here. What do you want to tell him that maybe you couldn't tell him before in an email or in a message, or now you have the moment?
You're putting me on the spot here. I don't know. Jordan, so far, work's been going all right. I guess my piece of advice or kind of thing that I would say is, like, be proactive and stuff. If I come to you and I'm like, hey, I want you to blacklist, you know, whatever, you know, ID or what have you, so you're like, oh yeah, I saw that was being troublesome. I actually already blacklisted you yesterday. I mean, that would be great. That would be like the ideal world, right?
See into the future a little bit here. All right. Yeah. High expectations.
Okay. Yeah, high expectations. Yeah.
Have to understand what women are thinking. Yeah. That's what it's all about. But hey, it goes both ways, right? So you have Heather here as well. And you know, it's always about not necessarily advice, but also a little bit of proactive, you know, here's something you can do better. Here's something I've seen my customers do, and you might benefit from this. So there she is. Do it.
Oh, man. Again, putting me on the spot.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, in this space, we all traditionally think of the mobile space of just like traditional programmatic, ad network, whatever it might be. And there's a lot of other offerings out there and a lot of unique things that some of these companies that your partners, you know, or your current partners may or may not be able to do for you. And I think it's ask above the horizon. What else is there out there outside of just what you're running currently today? Because there's some fun stuff out there.
There is. That's totally fair.
There you go. Take risk, get out of your comfort zone. But you've got it in your DNA anyway to do that, Heather. So it's all fair. So you don't know him forever. In fact, how did the two of you meet? It wasn't just today.
Well, today in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First person.
Oh, yes. Okay, there you go. Such a vibe. Cool. So how long do you
talk
know
a lot
other?
Over like Zoom and stuff?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. So over Zoom, the whole thing, how long?
Since May of last year, actually, I think right around that time, a previous colleague of hers, I have known known for a long time in the industry, and he had left and made an introduction, and we had some contact and conversation, and then things just kind of stopped for a good while. Mm-hmm. And we hired somebody that she had previously worked with in the past that you love, I assume.
Yep.
And yeah. Gave us the opportunity to reconnect and make things happen again.
There you go. So, yeah. So how's it going so far? Just, you know, don't have to give it on a scale of 1 to 10. Just sort of describe it.
You know, I will say a 7 right now. I am still in a period, though, where I consider it to be like the learning phase. You know, we're not like at full strides yet with our campaigns. We're not talking about scale yet.
We will get there.
So we will get there.
I believe
full
that.
Confidence.
Because I was going to say, you know, the whole thing about relationships, again, coming there, I feel a little bit like a counselor actually here, but the whole thing about relationships is also the whole idea that you want a strong partner, you want a smart partner, you want to learn from someone, and that person should also bring out a better version of yourself, a better marketer. Now, this is what you're also doing at SpotX, because you're working with marketers like Heather to get them up the learning curve, particularly on Scan4. So tell me about what you're doing, what you're seeing, how you're preparing, because it is going to be a project. It's going to be an ongoing project. It's going to be a long time before we're all there, but you've got the patience. What's going on over at SmartX?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Scan and Scan4 has been extremely interesting. Yeah. You know, I think we've already and always have really cut our teeth with Scan and done really well at, you know, running campaigns and doing it at scale and creating those learnings. But I think Scan4 obviously creates an entire new kind of world, right? And I think the industry is really kind of taking a, you know, slow roll approach with it. And I think that makes sense. I think it's incredibly complex. So one of the things that we're trying to do as much as we can is just educate and just trying to kind of go through that exploratory phase, at least initially, to help our clients understand what the potential of this could be. I think the reality is we know that at some point, probabilistic will likely go away, but I think we're still in that early phase. Currently right now, and I looked just a little bit ago, we only see like 5% of Scan4 traffic really being available, and that's through like one or two exchanges. Yeah. So really for our clients, we're not really coming to them saying, hey, jump in with 2 feet. So I think right now it's working with our advertisers and directly with the MMPs to understand it and figure out how we can actually do this at scale and do it efficiently. Because, man, it is confusing.
It
I think everybody
challenge.
Can agree on that.
But everyone says, you know, when you start now and you move forward, it's going to pay off later because
Definitely.
It's just about learnings, experimentation. What's it like for you, Heather? I mean, I know it's challenging, but where are you, do you think, on that learning curve? Or where are you in terms of the challenge that it is for you?
With Scan, I
yeah.
feel like it's still a progress. Sometimes I feel like the penguin, you know, on the ledge, and we're all like huddled there and until like one of them shoves the other one off.
It does feel like that.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, don't make me do Scan.
Yeah.
But no, we're learning, we're trying it, but I feel like we're still putting a small portion of our budget compared to everything else into figuring out Scan because it's not as profitable. And so mm-hmm. honestly, in a lot of ways, then we end up just throwing more money at Google.
I get back to the two of you in your relationship. Relationships also work, and also learning and education, as we're discussing about Scan 4. It works when you keep it fresh and relevant. It'd be interesting to know how you're keeping this fresh, because education can sound a little stale, a little, yeah, I know I got to do it, but you know, here she yeah. just doesn't want to even get off the ledge. So how do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it exciting? What are you doing to make this relatable for marketers?
You know, our biggest goal is just bringing new opportunities that we see in this space to everybody that we can and trying to introduce it as much as we possibly can. I think that there's, again, I mentioned this before, I really believe that it's when you find a partner that works for you and you, or when you find something that works for you, it's very easy to just stick with that and not necessarily consider maybe doing some other things or testing some other things. And so one of the things that I try to do as well as the rest of our team is really try to bring new opportunities, whether it be CTV or Scan or app to web or whatever it might be to all of our clients to try to create some new excitement around testing something with an already trusted partner, but something that they're not trying yet. And so that's one of the things that we kind of continue to do and really do believe.
How about you and your job? I mean, because you're there with a team and we hear so much now about working together through squad, keeping the energy high, trying something new and different to experiment, just to stay fresh, just to keep pushing those boundaries. How are you staying fresh at your job with your team?
Oh, we do a lot of team stuff together. I mean,
jealous.
So we're all remote.
Yeah.
But we do connect, you know, over Hangouts and stuff. We do a Friday happy hour biweekly
cool.
where we just kind of get together and we're not talking work. We're just talking about whatever movies or shows we're watching.
Where we are now, it's so demanding, so challenging. You know, those wins, those big wins, they're harder and slower to come by. It's a little bit grueling. It's challenging. How about you, how you work with your customers? How do you keep them understanding that, you know, small things will have big results and keep that patience, but also be determined?
The million-dollar question.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's about setting expectations or really trying to set expectations. The reality is nobody knows exactly how something is going to work until you test it out. And as much as I'd love to say that, you know, we have the best product, we have the best DSP, we'll be the most efficient, the reality is we don't always know exactly how something's going to be until we test and really work through those initial phases. And so I think it's just about trying to do my best to set realistic expectations with the industry experience and the knowledge that I have as well as our team has. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that that setting that expectation can not always sound super pretty, knowing that you know, expectations might not be met right away.
What about your expectations? How have you adjusted them or how have you had to change them because of, hey, where we are?
I think that I have pretty realistic expectations. You know, I think there's a lot of industry standards. If you're starting up with a DSP, you know, you expect, you know, the 4 to 6 weeks kind of spin-up mm-hmm. learning phase. I think some of the things that have been nice about SmartX have been the transparency as well as the dashboard, which is really interactive and like it's basically a big pivot table. But it really allows you to kind of dig into the data. And so I do appreciate that. And it's really kind of helped that and the level of communication, I think, as far as spinning things up and setting expectations and realistically where we should be.
Thanks.
There you go. The dashboard.
I'll take that back.
Yeah.
My product team will really like that.
I bet.
talking about keeping it fresh, keeping it honest. There's nothing like a little bit of a perk or something to show a little attention. Me speaking as a female, I have to say, I got flowers for my birthday, and then a week later, just because it was just the thing to do. I was so happy on my birthday. I got another round of flowers. I was like, oh, this is really, really sweet. So I know all about little perks. They mean a big deal. What is it with Jordan or even with SmartX? You know, one thing to do is to have amazing swag. What would you like to see in the way of attention, perk, swag? Here he is again, as I said. You can ask him for cool swag or a little perk.
I don't want physical objects.
That's fair.
I have enough hoodies. I have enough t-shirts.
I believe that.
Consumables, experiences. I had another network that set up a cooking class that was really cool. They sent
a
box of ingredients and a bottle of wine and stuff to the house. And then there was like a Zoom call with the chef and we all prepared like gnocchi and like... It was really cool experience.
Yeah.
And it was something that was great during the pandemic. Totally down for food or stuff like that.
Noted.
Yeah. But please don't send me another phone charger.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
Absolutely. I agree. No more phone chargers. I can say also as a journalist, it's like, nope. I've got those. My whole family has them.
Yes.
Neighbors have them. Everyone has them. I like that. Experiences. So relationships, again, built on trust and some tough love. What's the hardest advice? I'll start with you, Jordan. Hardest advice you've ever had to give or take regarding marketing, perhaps with Heather or maybe with her company overall?
I don't know that I have anything directly from you yet. I hope it doesn't come from a hard advice perspective, but I have definitely set expectations in the wrong way at some point, you know, just being super opportunistic about something that might not work. And so I've definitely gotten advice about, you know, not setting expectations correctly, but...
That's where we change it around.
That's exactly right.
I could see it. You know, you take that trek to Machu Picchu. You just want to see it. Can it be done?
Everything to be that exciting.
Yes, I see it. Same question to you, Heather, as well. What's the hardest advice you had to give or take? And that could be with yourself. That could be with your team. That could be with an ad partner.
One of the hardest conversations was actually, I think, with an ad partner about fraud.
Mm.
That was a really tough conversation because it was a lot of money and a lot of like 0% D1, but Adjust wasn't picking it up as fraud. Like usually their fraud protection is pretty good, but I was like, I'm looking at this and I'm going, 0% D1 is no, that's suspicious.
Yeah.
0% D1, meaning nobody's coming back.
That's very true.
Very, very bad traffic.
Very bad.
So that was a really tough conversation. And eventually they did offer to reimburse and, you know, basically we didn't cover the bill on that one and it worked out, but it was tough and it was dicey for the relationship for sure for a little bit there. You know, fraud hits, I think, both sides because, you know, with DSPs and stuff like that, I mean, you guys are going out there into the marketplace and there's people taking advantage of that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it is never a fun one to deal with.
So let's stay with the whole idea that we can speak honestly amongst ourselves. Let's speak honestly to the outside world, to the ecosystem. Imagine for a moment you had anyone in here listening, you name it, from Apple to Amazon, and you've got the mic. What would you say, Heather?
I have two young kids now, and, you know, I've worked in advertising, like you said, now for... almost a decade.
Yes.
And I do ads every day, but I don't like my children watching them. And I honestly think it's something as a country that we need to not serve ads to kids.
Wow.
I really think it should be illegal. Like, I get ads all the time because my kids watch stuff on my computer or whatever for like, you know, like pouring the Velveeta on the broccoli. Oh, I hate that one because I'm like, my kids eat broccoli. Don't show them cheese. No, they're not going to want to eat it anymore. But I mean, on a serious note, we've seen so many things with, you know, social media and teenagers and self-esteem and all these issues. And I worry about my young kids, and you've got a young one too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as much as I'm okay with showing ads to adults, you know, and I think that's fine, showing them to kids is like, should we be doing that?
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah,
that would be my thing that I would push for. So
it's fair, and it's a good call, Heather, I have to say. Uncensored thought from you.
That's way deeper than I was going to go. How about stop laying everybody off? No, I'm just kidding. totally kidding. I think in this atmosphere right now, kind of the way that I see it is it's still so important to test. Again, I've mentioned this before, right? Like we're obviously from an economic standpoint, everybody's tightening budgets, everybody's doing this and that. But I think the reality is you never know how good your mix can be unless you still have some level of testing out there. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy for everybody to just keep putting budget in the same place that they always have because it works. But at some point or another, things change. And I think continuing to test is super important.
So you've been honest with me, and we're going to look honestly into the future. And this wasn't even planned, but it looks so cool, I have to say, that we look into the future.
The 5 o'clock club.
One. Absolutely. The 5 o'clock club future. And we're going to look into astrology. And I have to say, a bit of a call out to Michael Paxman, now at Spotify, was at Voodoo, my chief astrologer and muse in this. So I did my homework before, so I know your signs. I'm not surprised, and I have prepared it. So who wants to go first?
You go for it.
All right.
Have a little bit of fun. Okay, you are Aquarius, progressive, forward-thinking all the way, and you're looking for new motivation, new innovation to refresh your ads. You're trying to think of new things, a new spin. So how about this? QR codes. But don't just put them anywhere. No. Have them on people's sunglasses. Look into tattoos, beyond t-shirts, little t-shirts for little dogs. Whatever you can think of, that will bring them to your app store page.
The stars are very specific. I like this.
QR codes on dogs. Yeah. All right.
I like it.
I like it. I think we're going to see something congregate, right? Yeah. Right?
That's exactly right.
American Dad on a dog.
I'll be watching for it.
We'll be watching for it. You don't get away, though.
Uh-oh.
You're Leo. You're the loud and proud sign, okay? King of the jungle, thinking big, which you do. You're going to harness the vibe in 2023 by doing something different with your marketing customers and with their campaigns. You're going to tell them, be brave, break the playbook. Why not just put yourself in the ad, right? Why not just be yourself in the ad creative? That says it all. Don't even mention the name of the game, just the face, smiling face, just like Jordan's right here. There you go. You don't even have to have the face of your brand. And it's your time to shine, so why not?
Why not? I like it.
Like it?
Sure, why not? I'll send you an iteration of your ad with my face on it.
I'll run it by brand and see if we get approval.
Get approval on that. I like it. It's fun.
Well, it's been great having you, and we're coming up to time. I could do it much, much longer. I have to say, come on, hey, high five at 5 o'clock club. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.